In the Sermon on the Mount, we're seeing that Jesus is teaching us what it is to be a true disciple. And as we look at the Beatitudes, the blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the hungers and thirsters for righteousness, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted. We're seeing the character. And these people, okay, these ones, these hungers and thirsters, these treasurers of God, the question in their hearts is, should be, Lord, what do you want from me? I give it to you. That's what we've been singing, haven't we? Lord, I'm yours. You've changed my heart. My heart is different now. I'm not the same. I can't be. And I don't want to be. And all that other stuff that I used to think was so important that I chased after and I was fighting for, it's nothing to you compared to you. And Jesus then teaches. We saw last week then, Jesus becomes the focus, the lens by which we can answer the question, Lord, what would you have of me? I'm yours. And we talked last week again about law and grace and how it's not about setting up rules and boundaries and saying, if you live in here and stay in these lines, you'll be okay. That's not the point. It never was. And in fact, if that is your only concern, to be boundary keepers and rule keepers, you may be condemned. That was what Jesus told the Pharisees and the scribes over and over and over again. It's about the heart. And it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And it always has been. Always has been. So turn in your Bible, if you have one there, to Matthew chapter 5. We'll be looking at 21 through 26 today. So now, in the rest of this chapter, Jesus is going to give us very practical, specific interpretations of what the law is. He just said, I'm not going to get rid of the law. In fact, I'm here to fulfill it. And if your righteousness doesn't exceed the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And let me explain. And here he's going to go. So, verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old. And that's his device throughout this whole chapter now. Okay, you've heard it was said, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Let me pray one more time here. Dear Father, please speak to us. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open our ears to you to hear what you have to see. Say to us today. Lord, I pray for clarity. Lord, I pray for your spirit to speak and move here right now for your glory. Amen. There's a lot of anger in our world today, isn't there? I mean, pick up any newspaper, from the smallest small town daily, you know, to the national press, to the BBC World Service, and you will find anger in every page, it seems like. Anger over the pet laws in the town, anger over the taxes, anger over policies and laws and scandals and name-calling and finger-pointing and on and on and on. It's a lot of anger. In fact, it's so much so that it seems like in our world that that's business as usual, that the normal default setting is angry. Be angry. But God's kingdom is different. Thank God. And as Jesus looks at these issues, his laws, like today, he's going to show us the issue, today, murder. But then he's going to go to the heart. Okay, so the issue is going to be murder, but then he's going to go to the heart issue, which is anger. And then, on this one, he's going to go to the heart application. All right, the Pharisees, their application was, all right, don't kill anybody. But Jesus says, no, look at it through me. Look at it through me. And that's where we're going today. So the issue, verse 21, Exodus 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. Commandment 6, thank you. I was pretty sure. I was like, Commandment 6, you shall not murder. Some of your Bibles may say, you thou shall not kill. All right? But we're talking about murder here. Okay, where you pretty clearly we're talking about someone going, because other places God says, hey, go kill that guy. So we're talking about murder, all right? And in fact, if you look there in Exodus, he does specifically point to something. If you look in chapter 21 of Exodus, in verse 12, it's very interesting. He says, he gives all these then kind of laws about murder. He says, whoever strikes a man shall be put to death. But if he did not lie in wait for him, but God let him fall into his hand, I'll appoint for him a place and he may flee. So God gives a way out sometimes if he didn't mean to. All right? And it's okay. There's mercy here. But murder, no way. If you went out and in your anger and you in your fury, your desire for vengeance, it's very clear. There's no place and must be punished. It is condemned. And for the scribes and the Pharisees, the application of this law was of no spilled blood, no murder, is that just don't actually murder somebody. Okay, that was the boundary. Okay, stay in here. Don't kill anybody. Now, for most of us, hopefully, not too much of an issue. We have a murderous thought occasionally, driving down the road. But for the most part, not too much of a problem, right? That's a pretty fairly reasonable boundary, right? So then what is it through the lens of Jesus? How does Jesus fulfill this law? And that is the heart issue. And we see that in verse 22. But I say to you, if you are angry with your brother, if you insult your brother, if you say you fool, you are liable to judgment. The Pharisees and the scribes looked at law and punishment. But Jesus looks deeper to what causes murder. He's going to prevent murder. Let's not even get close to where you are murdering. Let's not even be anywhere near where you might be murdering somebody. Jesus presses beyond behavior, specifically punished by law, to a kind of heart that generates that kind of behavior. It's about our hearts. In fact, if you look in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, it spells out very clearly, 3:15. He says, don't be surprised that the world hates you. And then in verse 15, he says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I got to think John was thinking specifically back to this sermon and remembering it. And remembering how powerful these emotions of hate and anger are. And how they have no place in the kingdom of God. Jesus shows us the overriding principle of anger, of how we deal with anger, right? Now, there's a problem here, though. I hope there's a problem for you. I get angry. Stop shaking your head so hard. You get angry, right? Am I a murderer? Every time I get upset? I mean, is there no place for anger? How do I deal with it? This is almost impossible, it seems like to me. I wish it wasn't so. The Bible does teach us about anger. And in fact, if you take your Bible, go to James, the book of James. And we'll start in chapter 1. We got to figure out then, how do we deal with anger? It's such a powerful thing. So in James chapter 1, in verse 19, he says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Right? So it's pretty clear there that anger does not belong in the kingdom of God. Does not produce God's righteousness. And that's what we want. So one, he says, be slow to anger. So it seems like he's giving us a little bit of an out here. Okay, you can be angry, but get there slowly. What does that mean? Or more specifically, I think here, what is anger of man? Okay, that's the question here. And that is the key. What is the anger of man? Skip ahead to chapter 4 of James. Okay, I think this clarifies what this is. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Anybody hear quarrel and fight? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder.
You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask, you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Do you, you adulterous people. Man, James just doesn't hold back, does he? Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. What is anger of man? It's selfish. It's selfishness. It is my passions, my desires put up against you or others. That is the anger of man. And that has no place in the kingdom. Now, we've talked about this before, haven't we? Remember Psalm 139? Remember Josiah? You like that one, didn't you? Remember we talked about this. We talked about this very thing, didn't we? Oh, how I hate the wicked. Oh, men of God, men of blood, depart from me. And we talked about anger and the kind of anger that is proper. And if you remember back, I don't expect you, well, that's fine. I had to dig up my file, so it's okay. All right, but I pulled it out. And here's what the conclusion that we came to. One, okay, proper anger is one focused on the character of God and his name. Right? So if you want to be thinking about anger and where it should be, that's where it should be. And also then two was, it should be focused on God's righteousness and holiness on earth. Okay, so the proper place of anger and those kinds of feelings are directed at glorifying God, at seeing what's wrong in this world and being angry about it and knowing that this is not right. And the conclusion then we came was, one, we need to then uproot and dig out selfish passions, judgmentalism, and personal vindictiveness. All right? And that brings us right back to what we're talking about here, isn't it? And he says, I say to you, if you're angry with your brother, if you insult him, I mean, it's more than just anger. I mean, he's talking about even insulting him. That the insult word there in the Greek is phrase raka. It's name calling, empty headed, stupid, hey idiot, you know, like a fool. So even name calling, we have a lot of name calling in our world. A lot of pointing the finger, a lot of, and it's, again, it's the heart issue. It's what is it in us that brings us to just want to strike out at somebody, you know, and not deal with it, but just, oh, I'll just call you a name. Jesus shows us the better way of what he wants in the kingdom. Now, a couple of little notes here. When he speaks of this anger, he says, but I tell you, if you're angry with your brother, okay, if you have a Bible with notes that you may see in there, in some manuscripts it says, angry without cause. The reason it's not in most Bibles that without cause is because more manuscripts that we have don't have it. So they figure, well, it's kind of put in there. But everyone I read, most people agree that, you know what, that's probably a good interpretation of what we're talking about here. All right. If we, again, because anger in itself, we see is not bad in itself. Be slow to anger. Be angry for God's righteousness. Be angry in upholding his name. But anger without cause. Selfish anger, what we just saw in James, on my passions, about me, what I want. I feel I need this, or I want this, or I deserve this, or that, or another thing. That's what we're talking about here. And like I said, even name calling and putting people down because of my selfishness, because of my passions, my desires. I mean, isn't that, that's really at the heart, that's what it is. Your little kids teasing in school, calling names. It's not about them, it's probably about themselves. And their desires, and their wants and needs, and wanting to feel better or bigger or whatever it is. And all these things lead to judgment. Just as much as if you went and killed somebody. Just as much. So, what is the hard issue then is anger. Okay, so the law, murder, hard issue, anger. Defined anger then as selfish passions at war within us, striking out against other people. Jesus gives us two great illustrations to clarify and apply this law. And it's kind of unexpected. It was to me. He gives us two. One, a wrong brother. He says, if you're in church, okay, if you get to the altar and there remember that a brother has something against you, leave your gift there and go and make things right and then come and offer your gift. I mean, literally what we're talking about is, okay, if you're here and you're singing, what a savior. And as you're singing, you want a savior. You just remember, oh, you know, I think that Jonathan has something against me. I think last week we said something and he kind of got a little miffed at me and that. Man, right then, stop singing. Go, find him. Make things right. What's more important than even worshiping God is your heart. towards other people. And the second picture is a little different. It's not a brother. It's basically an enemy, an adversary. And he says, if you're on your way to court, come to terms quickly as you're going, before you even get there. Because you may get there, and then you'll be turned over to the judge, and then you'll be turned over to the guard, and you'll be put in prison. Be like, you owe a debt to a creditor. And your creditor is taking you to court to collect on that debt. Before that it gets to court, get a hold of them. Call them on the phone. Go to their office and settle it. Get it settled. You don't want to have to go to court because you may just end up in jail. It's far better to settle it and get it taken care of than to put yourself at the mercy of a judge where it could go badly for you. So there's the example. Interesting. A couple things to notice. One, you're dealing with a brother in one instance and an enemy in another. Okay, so it covers all people. Okay, and he's talking about wrongs that you have done to others. His application isn't, hey, you know, when people wrong you, the heart of the issue is me and my relationship with others. And that is what it's all about. It's about being reconciled and at peace with other people. It's amazing. It's about the church and or court or brothers and enemies. It's the same situation. Someone has something against you. And so the lesson here is the same. So Jesus gives us the clarification and the application, which is one, the necessity of immediate and urgent action. In the very act of worshiping, traveling on the way to court, take care of it now. Now. Don't waste another second. If this comes to your mind, you're thinking about it, do it now. John Stott had put it wonderfully, way better than I would, so I'm just going to quote him here. How seldom do we heed Christ's call for immediacy of action? If murder is a horrible crime, malicious anger and insult are horrible too. And so is every deed, word, look, or thought by which we hurt or offend a fellow human being. Every offense. You ever had someone just, and maybe nothing, you never know. You ever had someone like, you talk and they kind of look at you and you go, what was that about? Or maybe, you know, you may be someone, you looked at somebody and they kind of, it happens sometimes. Now it may have been nothing. But if you're aware of it, deal with it. Because that's the kind of thing that can grow. That's the kind of thing that gets in someone's heart and festers and grows and could lead to murder eventually. Never let an estrangement remain where it can fester and grow. I was seriously convicted by this. I've told you before, I have a sister and we've not spoken in 3 years. It's not right. Now, I don't know. And I think this week I'm going to do something. I don't know if she'll respond, but that's not my deal. But I have to make sure that I'm doing what's right. Now, I know I've offended her, and a lot of it's a misunderstanding. But to go on further and further and further is not going to help anything. If you have a Bible, look in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul takes on this theme and sends some clarification into it even further. You go to verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Anger is a big deal. And that's what we're saying. Don't let the sun go down. Don't let the day end on anger. You know, every marriage counselor, marriage book I've ever seen quotes this verse as proper in a marriage. It's proper in every relationship. Anger can come. It can flare up. Okay. Deal with it. Don't let it go down on your anger. The burden of responsibility is on us to take the initiative and to immediately deal with what God puts upon our hearts. Now, you may have not noticed it right away, but as God's Spirit works in us in this process of sanctification, and that's what's going on. He always is. And maybe something you didn't even thought about, and all of a sudden you're going, wow, where did that come from? And even if you're not sure, there's something wrong there. Deal with it. Go to him. You may go to your brother or sister and say, hey, you know what? This came to my mind. It seems that maybe I may have said something that offended you. I'm sorry if that's good. And they may say, oh, no, there was nothing there. Whew, okay, you're good. But maybe there was something there. Maybe they say, yeah, you know, you kind of looked at me when I said that, and it just seemed like maybe you're putting me down. I am seriously guilty of that way too much. I like to joke, and most times it's not very funny. To avoid committing murder in God's sight, we must take every possible positive step to live in peace and in love with all people. All people. You're not entitled to be angry with a non-believer because they're a non-believer.
You're not entitled to hold grudges against someone just because they don't believe, or maybe even they're hostile to God. We hold God's righteousness. We uphold his name. But we are to live at peace and love with everyone. That is our responsibility. So my prayer for us here, Trinity Evangelical Free Church, is that we not be murderers. Right? I pray and beg you to take action on those things that come to your mind. If you have anything against me, if I ever say anything or look at you funny or think something's askew, come to me, please. Don't be afraid. I hardly ever bite. I will be the better man for it. And I need that. Let's take a moment right now as we end our service. Ask God to shine his light on your hearts. And if something comes to your mind, or maybe something has as we've been talking here, someone that's out there that things aren't right with, a friend, a neighbor, family member, even a child, mother, a father, and even if you're not sure exactly, pray for the courage and deal with it today. Today, okay? Today is the day. Now is the time. Let's take a moment and we'll end our service. Heavenly Father, shine the light of your Spirit upon us. And Lord, if there's anything out there, any person we've offended or wronged in any way, bring it to mind right now, I pray. And Lord, give us the determination as your people to make this right for your glory. Forgive us, Lord, and we thank you for that forgiveness. You are good to us and your grace covers us. And so we thank you for blessing us and keeping us, and help us, God, to see through the lens of Jesus and to take action for your glory, we pray. Amen. Amen. Go in peace and love this week. Amen.